Welcome to the Lions Den University Report. This program brings you a behind-the-scenes look at the spiritual life on today's university and college campuses. Now here's your host, Glenn Bailey.
We are here in Seattle, Washington today at the site of the University of Washington, and my guest is Johnny Jones. He's president of CRU, formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ, here on campus. And Johnny, welcome to today's broadcast.
Thanks for having me.
It's nice to meet you here. And how long have you been a student here at the university?
3 years.
Okay. What's your major?
Environmental Science and Resource Management.
Okay. Well, that's the environment is a popular issue these days, and a lot of people involved with trying to preserve a good environment. And you've been here for 3 years, but I understand that you came to faith in Christ not too long ago. You're a junior, and was it last year that you found Christ in your life?
Yep, last summer. So it's been about a year and 2 months.
All right. And you were involved in some sports here at the university. Tell us about that aspect, and then we'll get how that led to your spiritual concern as well.
Yeah, I was going to be a walk-on for track for the University of Washington. Ended up fracturing my heel, so I wasn't able to do my jumping events. I did long high jump and triple jump.
Right.
But in that, I got a lot of clarity. Being around the sports world for so long, I was caught up in myself, nothing but myself, just how popular I was, how many friends I had, and my whole identity revolved around sports, that I was an athlete, that everyone liked me because of that fact.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. And at Seattle here, it's a big sports town. We just saw the Seahawks beat the Redskins last night. And and actually, a lot of Seahawks are believers in Christ. The Wilson, the quarterback, and we had on our program a while back, Rocky Seto is the defensive backs coach for the Seahawks, and we interviewed him while he was defensive backs coach with Pete Carroll when he was down at USC. And just a strong follower of Jesus Christ. And so you were getting into track here, and you had this serious injury. And so what did that do to your whole mindset?
Oh, that, it was just devastating. I wasn't able to move for a couple days, and then slowly my identity in the athleticism started to fade away because I could no longer be an athlete. Fractured heel meant two years of recovery time.
Wow. Uh-huh.
So had to get used to not doing any sports, not being active.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was a big change for you. And now, how did you get in touch with CRU? Because I understand it was through them, kind of, that you found Jesus Christ, and they're active here at the University of Washington. How did you connect initially?
I don't think I tried to connect. It was CRU was really pursuing me. I got in touch with them the first day because they do dorm ministry, and right. I lived in the dorms.
Uh-huh.
So they went around, and there's just a friendly guy. His name was Rayshon, and we met. We talked a little bit, and he started inviting me to all these events. Later down the road, those events started to turn into like small group Bible studies, Bible discussions, large group, and I was kind of pushing him away. It's like, okay, now I don't want anything to do with you. But over the next 2 years, he continually pursued me, which led to a big part of me coming to Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And so so tell us what happened then, that you got connected with the group, and you were still maybe not thinking about the faith that much, and you had this injury, and, mm-hmm. and how did it all come together that you finally committed your life to Christ?
Yeah. I remember after the injury, I used to think a lot at night, and I was just thinking about my brothers, my sister, and just how competitive our household was, how our whole being revolved around being an athlete. A lot of the times, the only time our father talked to us was when we were after a sporting event, telling us how we played. So there was a lot of hurt in that. But yeah, just seeing my kind of dreams and goals and my plan for the future fade away, I kept asking myself, who was I?
Sure.
And every night I'd look at myself in the mirror, like 10 seconds and just stare at myself trying to figure out who am I. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't figure it out. Anything I tried to put my identity in, it just seemed to fade away. I was an athlete. That got stripped from me. I was popular. That got stripped away from me. I had a lot of friends. That got stripped away from me. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of things just kept moving and kept moving and kept moving. And Rayshon was constantly pursuing me. And so as he started to engage me more and more and more, he started to open up my mind and challenge me to more spiritual things, which led me to start challenging my faith, what I believed in. I believed that at the time that there was no God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he slowly began challenging my mindset, where I got this belief from. And over the time, I started just reflecting. I started looking at the Bible, see what they said about this God. I looked at other sources. I looked at the Quran to see what they said about that God.
Right.
The Torah, see what they said about that God. Buddhism, Hinduism. And I was just all over the place trying to find some place where I can just fit in.
Sure.
Some place where, you know, I felt like I was loved.
Mm-hmm.
Constant pursuit by Rayshon kept happening.
Uh-huh, okay.
And at the end of my sophomore...
Good guy then. Huh?
Yeah. At the end of my sophomore year, he invited me to go to a 10-week leadership camp. It's called Lake Tahoe. I mean, and it's on Lake Tahoe.
Okay.
But it's a 10-week leadership camp where you really get to just advance in your faith, if you're a believer, that is.
Mm-hmm.
And really be able to share your faith in workplace environments. So no one knew that I wasn't Christian when I went down there, but I mean, the staff here at UW did.
Right.
And then I've never felt such genuine love. Like, they didn't care about who I was or what I did or what I was doing or what I had done.
Right.
They just really loved me. Like this unselfish, unconditional love. And I hated it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, okay. I couldn't get away from it. I felt like they were just so fake. But at the end of 3 weeks, I started to see that this was real, genuine love. And these were people passionate about a God who was out there who loves them just as much. And I was...
And everybody's in his image. And,
yeah.
And everybody has worth, and we ought to respect and love everybody.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus says, right?
Yeah. And then one day I just broke down after, you know, the combination of being unathletic, losing my identity for what sounds like 2 years, and trying to challenge my faith for 2 years. I was like, God, like, I want to believe in you. Like, if you're real, you got to show up. And it was at one of those low points in my life. And I think at that moment, God did step in and meet me. And that's when I committed my life to Christ, and a week later got baptized. I've been trying to passionately walk with him for the rest of my tenure.
Great, great, outstanding. And yeah, some people put off baptism a while after they get come to know the Lord, get saved, and receive Christ as their Savior.
Yeah.
But you did it pretty quick, so that's a good thing, and that's the way it was in the Bible. You know,
yeah.
If they trusted Christ, the Jordan River's over here, get baptized. So that's great. And you mentioned the other religions, you know. I was talking to a Hindu not too long ago who was an older fellow, and I asked him, you know, why hasn't he rejected his Hinduism? Because he's very frustrated with the caste system.
Mm.
And India has tried to get rid of the caste system, which says some people are untouchables. You know, they're so unworthy, and then there's other levels of status that you have depending on who your parents were. And India has even tried to pay people to marry people in different castes to break down the barriers, and they offered, I think, $50 if you'd marry somebody from another caste for a while, but it hasn't worked. I mean, that's so entrenched from their religion and their scriptures that there are different castes, and mm-hmm. yet in Christ it says there's no slave nor free, Jew nor Greek, male nor female. We're all one mm-hmm. in Christ, all have that equal value. And so you came to put your faith in Christ, and now you're a leader here with the crew. And I understand something that we haven't talked about on our program in a while that you do is go out and talk to people cold turkey about the faith.
Yeah. We call it random evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
And just as in Luke, as Jesus described going out, and he sent out disciples two by two into the towns to tell them about Jesus, to prepare his way, we kind of do the same thing. and it, we go out and two by two and initiate conversations, spiritual conversations with people, and just trusting that the Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us, and that maybe it might not be fruitful at the time, but that seeds will be planted. So,
right, yeah. Right. And a lot of witnessing is sowing seeds. But so how often do you do this?
We do it twice a week.
Twice a week?
Yeah, and, for about 3 hours.
About 3 hours each time. So that's quite an extensive amount of your time.
Yeah.
What kind of response do you get here at the university? Do you get a number of people that are open to listening? Or?
Yeah, we get a huge majority of people, depending on just who it is. We have the people that just automatically reject us, mm-hmm. or we have the people that will sit through and listen and say no. We have some interested people, which is, you know, what we pray for, we hope for, that God has softened their heart to be able to hear. But then we get these people that are just so against it. We've had people yell at us before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. You have people that will really challenge your faith.
Right.
Coming from a really liberal school, we have people of different religions who are also well-versed in what they're saying and have a lot of questions. But the challenging and the trials that your faith goes through makes it stronger. So it's been a good experience, and as we continue to do it, it allows our strength to be strengthened even more.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so your intent is to share the gospel at that meeting. And a lot of times you hear today, relational evangelism. You build a relationship and over a long time, and eventually you get to share.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that never materializes, and sometimes your only chance is a one-shot thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to each respect the different ways God leads us to evangelize. But I'm glad to hear that you're still out doing that and sowing the seed. And even Bill Bright said, I believe his statement, he was the founder of when it was Campus Crusade for Christ about 60 years ago. One thing he said was, don't bruise the fruit. that there's some that are ripe, and if somebody's ready, you just share the hope of Jesus Christ, and they accept it right then and there. And if they're not ready, then, it's like trying to pull an apple off the tree before it's ripe, and you have to yank on it, and he says, well, you're going to bruise the fruit that way. So, let people be where they are, but find the ones that are ripe, because we have a message that changes people's lives. So you've gone out and done that, and what else do you do as the president of CRU here?
The president of CRU doesn't have too many more responsibilities tacked on. But I'm responsible for relying all the information that we do as a ministry, as a student organization, to the head of the registered students organizations.
Right.
I have all the signatures that need to be signed, or I do all the signing of confirmations for reservations.
And you got us this room here that we're in the Student Union building right now, the hub.
Yeah.
Husky Union building, and doing the interview.
Yeah.
And, so kind of the administrative side of things.
Yeah, yeah.
Great, great. And now you have a year to go in your studies, and you might go into CRU staff then at some point, you think.
Yeah. I might. I'm not too entirely sure.
Yeah?
But, yeah.
Okay.
But going wherever God calls me.
Seeking God's direction. Mm-hmm. Great, great. Well, that's the best place to be. My guest for this program has been Johnny Jones, president of CRU here at the University of Washington in Seattle, Washington. And Johnny, pleasure to meet you, and thanks for joining us for the Lion's Den today.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the Lion's Den University Reports. If you would like more information about the Christian life or would like to contact the Lion's Den or one of the guests, please write us at the Lion's Den, Post Office Box 226, Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, 17844, or email ltcldur@yahoo.com.